Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading will be taken from Revelation 12, verse 7. And a war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody here camera person? You like taking pictures? You like cameras? I was a little guy. I remember getting my first box camera. You know, one of those things that was a camera that had you get the flash things where, you know, it'd have four flashes that it'd turn, and you remember those things? I took after my mother. My mother had a habit. We have many an old photo album that has wonderful pictures of people with the heads cut off. Those old box cameras where you were looking through was different than where the picture took it, and my mom was an expert at cutting off heads. I feel like I fixed that halfway. I have some great pictures from my first pictures that I have from my old box camera. It usually got people from about here on down. You know, I just took off foreheads. That was about all. But I remember those old pictures, old cameras, and I remember getting up in the world and getting a camera that was a little bit better and a little more high tech and trying to take pictures with that thing. And then I really got up in the world. Any of you remember getting... I was so proud of that first camera that I got that was one of those that was a self-focusing. Remember those? It was a self-focusing camera. I thought, boy, this is really going to be, because I don't have to do all that technical stuff, just aim, shoot, take the picture, you can't miss. Now again, this is all back before the days of digital, so you had the process of take pictures, and take pictures until you used all 36 on the roll, and then take it to the place to have it developed and getting it back. And by the time you get it back, you might have forgotten, several month or two might have gone by, you forget what some of those... So when you went to take your roll of film into the photography place, it was Christmas Day when you're going through them. Oh, okay, what pick? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I remember that. I had one, though, that really threw me off. I had this picture. Why did I take that? What does that have to do with anything? I remember I had this glorious picture of the south end of a northbound horse. And I was trying to figure out what in the world was I taking a picture of that for? I mean, it's one thing to say that's a nice horse, but just to have the back half, I mean... What was I doing? What was that there for? And as I was looking at this picture, like, what was this? I got to think, did somebody pull a trick on me and just, you know, start flipping some pictures, get a hold of my camera and take some pictures? And then as I was studying it closer, I noticed this post that was in front of, you know, somewhat in front of the south end of the northbound horse. And I was like... I wonder what that post is that's there in front. And as I got studying that post, I found that post wasn't a post. I got looking at it a little bit. Well, that's my friend Johnny. And then it dawned on me what happened. Have you figured out what happened? I was trying to take a picture of Johnny, but there was some other stuff going on in the background that I wasn't paying attention to. And the horse was bigger than Johnny, and the self-focusing thing latched onto the horse instead of Johnny. And as the horse was moving out of the picture, I got half of the horse. Have you ever been in a situation where you think, maybe something got a little bit out of focus? I could barely see Johnny. He was all... out of focus. He was all blurry because we were solidly focused into the north end of a southbound horse. You ever felt like you got the wrong thing in focus? You ever felt like you got a little out of focus and mixed up with the wrong thing? Oh, we'll be okay. Anyway, point that I'm, well, okay, I'll make you feel better. And make me feel better too then. Today, let's talk about end time events. Oh, here, good Adventist people. It's been, the pastors never talk about end time events. You ever hear that? Oh, to get a good old-fashioned sermon on end time events. Can we talk about end time events today? And can we talk about end time events from the book that is end time events? Would you turn with me to the last book of the Bible? The last book of the Bible. And by the way, the last book of the Bible is all about end time events, and it even says so. The last book of the Bible is called Revelation. The Revelation and the last book of the Bible on end time events can be a little bit controversial. Have you ever been in a situation where you think, I'm not sure I understand what that means? Let's put it the other way around. How many of you say, I got Revelation down? I know what Revelation is saying. I got it 100%. I got it down. Anybody? I don't. So let's look at end times a little bit. And as soon as you open up the book of Revelation, you start immediately getting into a controversy. For instance, some of the Bibles refer to it as the Apocalypse of John the Divine. Others' Bibles refer to it as the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Which is it? Actually, in fairness, it's both. Okay? John the Divine is the guy that everybody assumes did the writing of the book. What's the topic of the book? Jesus, who is the Christ. Okay? Now, you know where we get the book Revelation? I mean, where the word Revelation comes from? In the original language, in the Greek, it's actually two words. Apokalypsis. If you put those two words together real fast, what's it sound an awful lot like? Apocalypse. You know what the apocalypse is? It is the apokalypsis. You know what apokalypsis means? It's two words. Apokalypsis means to reveal or to uncover. It means to pull the curtains back. Have you ever done that? Have you ever been in a situation where something's happening outside and you're inside? And you're in your house and you really don't want the people out there to see you. You kind of want, have you ever kind of gone to the curtain and kind of peeked out a little bit to see? You know? And sometimes when we're doing that, we're inside and we're used to being inside and we've kind of relaxed a little bit inside. And so we might not really be dressed for outside. And so when we look, we kind of peek and, you know, kind of look through. But we want to stay behind what the curtain is because we want to see out, but we don't want anybody else seeing in. You ever done that? That's apocalypsis. To pull back the curtain to be able to see. So you've done apocalypse quite a bit of the time. That's what the word means. That's what the two words put together means. Okay? So that's what the word revelation means, to reveal, to open up. What is it it's trying to reveal? It tells you. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can I take you back to an expression that'll show up over and 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 over again in the New Testament? It is the expression Jesus Christ. Jesus is his name. Christ is a title. What is the title? The title basically amounts to that Jesus is the Messiah. And what does that mean? The book of Revelation actually tells us. What does it tell us about Jesus? And actually goes on in chapter 1 down toward the bottom. The one doing the talking. If you have a red letter edition, you'll see it. It'll speak right up at you. The one doing the talking to John. Verse 17, the part that starts the red letter. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives. Verse 18, I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys to death and the grave. You know what that means? Messiah means Christ, who is the only one of a kind, because he is the one who is the one who has lived, died, is resurrected, has the keys to the grave. So when you find that expression, Jesus Christ, it's saying Jesus is the one who has the keys to the grave because he has earned it by being the one that is alive, was alive, dead, and resurrected again. That's what's being revealed in Revelation. It's about Jesus who is all that stuff. Now you get looking a little bit farther and you will find that it's talking about prophecy. Go back to the end of the book. Back to the chapter 22, the end of the book. Chapter 22. Look at what John says in the end in chapter 22, verse 8 and onward. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and I saw, I fell down to worship the one before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Have you ever gotten out of focus? Notice John got out of focus. He got so busy looking at other stuff. And he said, oh, I got to bow down and worship this. What's the angel say? Get up, get up, get up, get up. Worship only God. Don't get out of focus. What's the focus of the book of Revelation? What's the focus of the book of Revelation? It is that Jesus is the Christ. The focus of the book of Revelation is Jesus is the Christ. Don't get focused on other things that the camera might try to focus on. Don't be Henry, supposed to clean the room, but get off doing other stuff. Don't be taking pictures and get pictures of south end of northbound horses when you should be taking a picture of the person you want to take a picture of. Don't get off focus. Could I suggest, last day of events, people do it all the time. They get off focus. I can tell you some amazing stories of people who can give you the nth degree of every little detail that's going to happen just before the coming of Jesus. I remember a guy we had in church. Man, he was an interesting character. I'd probably call him an old coot. Oh, he's always talking about time of trouble, time of trouble, time of trouble. Oh, we got to be ready for the time of trouble. Well, should we? Yeah. But his whole focus was on the time of trouble, the time of trouble, the time of trouble, the time of trouble. Poor guy. Feels so bad for him. He's dead now. He isn't going to get to experience his time of trouble. He didn't speak about Jesus much, didn't care much, but boy, he wanted to know, wanted to be in that time of trouble. Could I suggest? I think he might have been a little off focus. The revelation is the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. And the reason that's important is Jesus came to show us what the Father is like. Reading a little bit farther, John, verse 9, chapter 22. He says, the angel says, get up, don't do that, don't be worshiping me. For I am your fellow servant of your brethren, the prophets, and of those who keep the word of God, the words of the book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. What's prophecy? Don't seal the prophecy. What's prophecy? Jesus is talking to his disciples in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, verse 19. John chapter 13 and verse 19, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, now I tell you before it happen, that when it comes to pass, you may know that I am he. Okay? What's prophecy? You know what prophecy is? There's a simple way to tell you what prophecy is. Prophecy is history before it happens. Okay? By the way, do Seventh-day Adventists believe in prophecy? Do Seventh-day Adventists use prophecy? I would say yes. We use it tremendously. My wife told me, I don't dare use this word. It'll just throw everybody off. I've been told it's a Yiddish word. The word shtick. Shtick doesn't mean stick. It means shtick. It means your thing you use to get to something else. Could I suggest prophecy is not our message? Could I suggest sometimes we come across like prophecy is our message? I would suggest prophecy is not our message. Prophecy is the shtick to get. Prophecy's point is to show that the God of the Bible is in control of history. History before it happens means God is in control of history. The purpose of prophecy is to have people go, whoa, that's amazing that God, that somebody knew that. And that's our chance to say, let me tell you about our God. If all we're going to do is stay focused on prophecy and not bring the conversation to what is our God like, we're out of focus. Can I say that? We're as badly out of focus as if we're taking pictures of south end of northbound horses instead of the person we want to take a picture of. And again, I've known of many a person who has always wanted to talk about time of trouble, time of trouble, time of trouble, and missed out on Jesus, who is our assurance in the time of trouble. Can I take you back to that? Now here again, don't take that to mean Pastor Jim says doctrines don't matter. They do. They're to be studied. They're to be understood, but it's in the context of what does this tell us about what our God is like. It's in the context of Jesus is the Christ, who not only has control of history, but he also has control of the grave. And he's coming back again, reading on. Verse 10, do not seal up the words of this prophecy. Could I show you something else there too? Go back to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 is talking about prophecy and apocalyptic prophecy. Apocalyptic prophecy is that stuff with the weird animals and beasts and strange things and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever gotten frustrated looking at apocalyptic prophecy and all those strange beasts and ideas? Okay, what's the point of all those apocalyptic prophecy, the strange beasts and all that kind of stuff? It's really pretty simple. Not always the illustration, the interpretation isn't always pretty simple, but what's going on is pretty simple. It's in it's in Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to signify. You know what's the word, that word there means that says signify? You know what that means? It actually means symbolic language. It means to use sign language. Okay? That's really all it means, to symbolize with something else. Where was John when he said he got his visions? That's just the book of Revelation. Huh? He's on an island. He's on the island of Patmos. What is the island of Patmos? It's a penal colony. Why is he there on a penal colony? You know why he's there? Yeah, the history tells us the emperor got so mad at him that he decided he was going to kill him. And so he said, John, I'm going to give you an opportunity to decide to stop preaching anymore. And he tied him up, strung him up in a tree, moved him over, put a pot of oil under cooking oil, put a fire under the pot of cooking oil so they got it boiling. Okay? And the idea is, John, if you don't say you're going to quit preaching, we're going to lower you into that cooking oil little by little by little. We're going to have your feet fry and then the rest of you until you're dead. That's what we're going to do to you. Okay? And John said, well, I guess I'll keep preaching. And so that's exactly what they did. They put him in the cooking oil. And the only trouble is the boiling cooking oil to John was like taking a bath. It was just, you know, God worked a miracle and the cooking oil wouldn't boil him. What do you do with somebody that you can't kill when you're the emperor? Well, next Bex thing, put him on a penal colony. And they had a great place to do it. The island of Patmos was an island. The prison bars were the Mediterranean Sea. Where are you going to go? Okay? So that's where John is when he's getting his vision. Now, have any of you ever visited anybody in prison or in jail? You ever visited anybody in jail? Okay, yeah. Have you ever written to anybody that's in jail? You ever done that? You ever written to somebody in jail? I know. Have you ever gotten a letter back from somebody that's in jail? Okay? Now, something you can understand, something you can expect to happen if you're writing to somebody that's in jail. Okay? You know what you can expect if you're corresponding with somebody that's in jail? You can expect something. You can expect there's somebody else reading that mail. You understand what I mean? It's being censored. All right? It's being censored. World War II, when you got the ships going around, did Washington, D.C. just say, okay, ship so-and-so, I want you to go 3 miles this way, hang a left, and bomb that place? Is that what they'd say over the radio? Why not? In fact, in World War II, everybody was picking up each other's coded language so much that the Americans came up with a way to fix that problem. Get some Navajo Indians. Nobody can interpret that language. Go ahead, try and crack that. So we just put them on the different ships and let them talk to each other. But for the most part, everything is said on coded language over the radio, so the ones that have the code can understand what's being said and everybody else thinks it's gibberish. Does that make sense? So what happens with John? On the Isle of Patmos, he's writing to encourage his people, but he got to get it past the censure. Okay? Simple way to do that. What do you do when the censure thinks, this dude is nuts? He's saying all sorts of weird stuff. Talking about weird animals and weird things and weird whatever. And if somebody wants to listen to this gobbledygook, go ahead. That's the book of Revelation. It is coded language. Now, how you make sense out of a coded language? If you've got the code. Does that make sense? And that's all that's being said when it says, God gave the message, gave it to John, who signified it. Coded language. That's all that's being said. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you back to, have you ever felt like, boy, I can understand everything that's going on in Revelation? I can't either. Would you think I'd like to do more studying into figuring that out? As long as we remember, what's the focus of the book of Revelation? If we get off on all the other stuff, we're missing the point. Because what is the point of the book of Revelation? It is to reveal that Jesus is Christ. And if we understand that, then we understand that he's got the keys to the grave. And if we understand that, we understand that he's great hope. And now in the process, you might find some other stuff that's going on. There's other things that are in there. There's beasts that are things. Do you focus on the beast? To focus on the beast is to be out of focus. To focus on the beast, or this other thing, or that other thing, or the ten. I've been in pastoral ministry 30-some years. I can tell you at least three times that I've had somebody come up to me, "Pastor, do you think this latest thing is one of the seven last plagues?" You know what my answer is? No! We're not there yet. Last events are going to happen rapidly. It's usually somebody on some hobby horse of something or whatever. Is this one of the seven last plagues? No. Why not? Because we're not there yet. Make sense? If you're going to be focusing on the plagues, you're out of focus. If you're going to focus on trying to nail down when the second coming of Jesus is, you're out of focus. The focus of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22, verse 14. Blessed are those that follow the Lamb. Blessed are those that do what he trusts, that trust him to do what they would have him to do. Verse 18, I testify to all who hear, to if anybody adds to the prophecy of this book, you're adding. It says God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. What's the final message of Revelation? It's in chapter 22, and it's verse 20. And he who testifies to these things says, surely I come quickly. Daniel chapter 12 says, Daniel is told, seal up the vision. Don't worry about it. You're going to sleep for a while. It's not for your time. Revelation, John is told, don't seal up the vision. Why? Because it's during the last days. We have trouble forgetting that. You know when the last days began as far as the Bible is concerned? When Jesus went back to heaven. John wrote the book of Revelation. He's in the time period of the end of time. That's what it says. Now don't try to peg when the end of time is. It'll do you as much good as looking at the south end of a northbound horse. You're out of focus. Now, what's the message again? What are we focusing on again? If last day events does not focus on Jesus Christ and who he is and his assurance, we're out of focus. If last day events is on this and this and this and this and this and I think this and I got that, and we're out of focus. Is there a lot of stuff in there? Yeah, there is. Is there even a bunch of counterfeit in there? Yeah, there is. By the way, how do you spot a counterfeit? My kids each spent some time in high school. They both got a job at a Chipotle restaurant. If you're going to work the counter at a restaurant, you got to know how to spot counterfeits. You know how they teach them to spot a counterfeit? Let's try it this way. How many counterfeits do they study to spot a counterfeit? Zero. What do you study? You study the true. You don't spend a lot of time focused on the counterfeits. There's always another one coming along. You only spend your time talking about the true. And you spot a counterfeit. At least, in theory, you're supposed to be able to. Is there counterfeit in the book of Revelation? Oh, yeah. Is there a bunch of junk stuff going on? Oh, yeah. But what's the focus of the book of Revelation? If you get focusing on the counterfeits, you're out of focus. Get focusing on all the other stuff that's going to happen, you're out of focus. When is the last day events? It's from the time period of Jesus onward until he comes. That's what it says. I'm a kid of the 20th century. Can't tell you how many commotions I've heard about. When I was in college, somebody decided the years of the Jubilee had come up, and so that was absolute proof that we were going to be, the second coming of Jesus was going to be that year. Of course, it came to nothing. Anybody remember Y2K? What is it with us Christians being more interested in finding something nutty to get nuts about than to stay focused on Jesus Christ? What does it say? The reveal that Jesus is the Christ. What is prophecy for? It is to reveal that Jesus has control of history. It is to take us back to the Word, to trust the God of the Word. To get focused on all the prophecy is to be out of focus. Does that make sense? Can the Bible speak? I would say it can and it does. Can I take you further? Can the Bible be understood? Do the things that the Bible says matter? Can they be followed? And can it make sense? I would suggest it can. Notice what John says. Now remember again. Is there bad stuff in Revelation? Is there bad stuff in there? Does it look like some scary stuff in there? Does it look like some scary stuff between the time of the writing and the time when Jesus comes? Notice what Jesus says in chapter 22, verse 20. Surely I am coming quickly. And notice what John says afterwards. Notice John puts a little editorial in there. Do you notice the little editorial that John puts in there at the end of the verse? What's he say? Even so, come quickly. Is there going to be a bunch of stuff beforehand? Yeah, but I want to see Jesus. Notice, if you will, John's focus is on Jesus. It's not on stuff. Notice, if you will, John's focus is on Jesus coming. It's not all the other stuff that has to happen first. Notice, if you will, John is saying, I want to see Jesus. Why? Because John wanted a relationship with Jesus. Bad stuff to get there? Okay, bring it on, because I want to see Jesus. That makes sense? What's the focus of last day events? It's Jesus. It is the proof that Jesus is the Christ. The gospel is Jesus is the Christ. It's the whole message. The gospel is not what I do for God, it's what God is doing for me. The gospel is not I'm this or I'm that or what I need to do. The gospel is Jesus is the Son of God and the Son of Man, the miraculous, unique one who died and is resurrected. That's the Christ. That's the Messiah. The message That's called good news, by the way. The good news message. There is a Messiah, and he's Jesus, and he's coming back to get his people. That's the message. Could I suggest that's last day events? Or we're out of focus. Could I suggest to look at the book of Revelation from chapter 1 to chapter 22, and all the stuff in there is always coming back to, and what's the focus? And what's the focus? And what's the focus? And it'll be easier to understand if we remember to stay focused on the focus of the book. Does that make sense? Would you be interested in playing around with it a little bit? If there are people that are interested, I'd like to do a Revelation seminar and just go through and look at it, but always in the context of asking the question, and what's the focus again? And what's the focus again? So that it, can I see if I can say this? If the study of Revelation is right, it needs to be a joy, not a scary thing. Can we say that? It needs to be a joy, not a frustration. Last day events needs to be a joy, not a frustration. If our focus is on the time of trouble, we're out of focus. If our focus is, oh, we need to do this, can I say it? What's the focus again? Does that make sense? This Jesus is coming back again. And he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's got the key to the grave. And by the way, that's why the devil is angry. That makes sense? Revelation. And the dragon was wroth with the woman because he knows that his time is short, and he knows that Jesus has the keys to the grave. Dear Jesus, thank you for being our Messiah, for being the Christ, for being in control of the apocalypse, for being in control of last day events. We thank you for the promise that Jesus is coming again. May our focus of last day events be that Jesus is coming again. And may we be in peace while we study and while we wait. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you, there's a new Bible study coming on Sabbath mornings. We're going to have a new Sabbath school class starting. We're going to keep the one in here, but if you'd like to be involved in a small group Bible study, I encourage you to be coming on Sabbath mornings. We've got another one that's starting. I encourage you to get involved. If you'd be interested in doing a study of the book of Revelation, talk to me afterwards. I'd love to be getting involved with that. If you say, I'd like to be interested in that, we could do it, okay? We can study the book of Revelation. It'll come alive. I encourage you, encourage you, encourage you. Be in the Word of God. It can make sense. Heavenly Father, as we think about end time events, it's our prayer that our focus be on Jesus. It's our prayer that you be our assurance and our confidence that you are indeed our salvation. And it is our prayer that we be at peace each Sabbath when we concentrate on you being our Creator. And we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.